14 years.
Hi, my name's Leo, and I use he, him, his pronouns.
Oh, this guy.
Hi, my name's AJ, and I use they, them, theirs pronouns.
Did you know that sex is your biology and gender is how you identify?
You can't assume someone's gender.
Based on their clothes.
Based on their hair.
Based on their voice.
Who they hang out with.
Who they're attracted to.
My gender isn't your business.
Ask me my pronouns!
Brought to you by the PBPA Student Group for Gender, Sexuality, and Diversity.
What are people up to in town? Find out on Out There Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 5 on Valley Free Radio for live encounters from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond.
We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late.
Here it is in the house.
And welcome to Out There. It's Wednesday, March 8th, International Women's Day. Happy International Women's Day. I got a couple women in here in the studio with me today. Paige Bridgens.
Say hi, Paige. Everybody.
And Ami Ross.
Hi, everybody.
And we're going to have a little conversation about being bearded ladies. So stay tuned. But I'm going to play a little 2-minute clip from today's International Women's Day March rally in Pulaski Park. This is a couple of minutes from a friend, Kessa.
Okay. Kessa, can you just tell me who you're here at the Women's March rally with today?
I'm here with my school, Paulo Freire Social Justice Charter School in Holyoke.
How did you get the time off to come?
There was a bunch of us who decided, a bunch of female staff and teachers who decided, and female identified and allies who decided in protest that they were going to participate in the National Day of Women's Strike. Day without a women's strike. You might want to edit that. The number kept growing. We did it over email until there was, impossible for our school to stay open without women. So,
like how many teachers wanted off?
I think the list was 20.
Yeah, maybe 20, somewhere between 20 and 25.
Out of like how many total teachers at the school?
We don't have that many. 30? 35 teachers?
Maybe 35.
Staff and with admin also.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool.
And so we came out here as a group of teachers to really show solidarity for the strike and, just to accentuate the importance that women have in this world. It's also important as a staff and a female, majority female run industry, education is made up of, 90% women, that it's important that we show really that, right, education wouldn't run without women, that many industries wouldn't run without women, and to show our young women how important it is, how their lives are important, and they're our future leaders, and that, they can create the change that they want to see in the world.
All right, so that's a few words from Kessa. And so back to our live guests in the studio, Paige Bridgens, inhabitant of Northampton. What else, Paige? Why'd you introduce yourself?
I live on Northern Avenue, which is also the home of the Bike Lab.
Thank you for hosting.
And which is a really great place. From 11 to 2 on Saturdays, people bring their bikes and work on them, and Ruthie here guides them through repairs. What else can I say? I have a little bit of facial hair on my chin, and it just recently began to turn white or gray, and so I'm looking forward to talking about it.
How long is it, Paige?
How long is it? I don't know. See, it's interesting that when I look in the mirror, which is not very often, I don't really focus on my little chin hairs. I just sort of see the overall thing, I think.
Yeah.
And so I'm not really intimate with my chin hairs. But if I pull these down, gosh, what would you say, Ami?
You're huge in Japan. You're huge in Japan.
Ami, you're talking to the mic.
Hi.
And actually, while you're on, why don't you introduce yourself,
yeah,
too?
I'm Ami Ross. I live in East Hampton. I've been in the Valley 26 years. And I remember seeing you, Paige. I saw you at the Valley Co-op recently, and I was just standing there like, oh, my goodness, there's, I believe, another bearded lady. And I'm staring at you, and I'm trying to get your eye, and I'm staring like a five-year-old kind of gobsmacked.
Like, really, like, that.
And I was, like, trying to get your eye, and I was going to be like, hi, bearded lady, And I couldn't get your eye, and I was like, okay, next time, and it's always that question of like to acknowledge someone else who grows a beard, and it's not always assumed that they're feminine of center when because of the gender spectrum.
Right.
And I remember seeing you, Ruth, a couple few times on your bike and being like, hey, look, that pedal person has a beard and they look feminine of center. And I wonder, will I offend them if I step to them and just start saying, hey, I'm a bearded lady. Are you a bearded lady? Because it's not the sum of me, but it's like, you know, oh, you have blue eyes. I don't have blue eyes. But, you know, it's like, yeah. Oh, you wear glasses. I wear glasses. And it's not the sum, but it's a piece. And it's exciting because... Yeah. It's totally an outsider thing to have as a feminine of center to rock a beard because it's usually, you know, seen as, oh, you're automatically masculine. And so when I saw you, I was just like, oh, my goddess. And it took me a couple of times to step to you.
Mm, yeah,
you
know? I remember in Pulaski Park. I remember
you
coming
so
up to me in Pulaski Park.
Nonchalant. I was like,
and you had your card with the bearded lady tattoos that you gave me. Bearded lady piercings that you gave me. Yeah, and I was like, that's a bearded lady who knows they're a bearded lady. I like this.
Well, I body pierced for 20 years, and it was piercings by the bearded lady.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when life gives you lemons, you got to make really good lemonade. Because I've had my beard, let's see, I'm 54. I've had my beard since I was about 27. 26.
Yeah, was that when like it just started growing or what happened?
So my story, I think it's when I lived in San Francisco in the 80s. So I have to go backwards a little bit. So Chernobyl happened, and when the cloud over Chernobyl finally started wafting across Europe, one of the first countries it hit when it left was Turkey, and Turkey got heavily radiated, which was very sad, as it everybody did. And when it finally made its way, and I remember that because I was actually in Berlin and in Kreuzberg, and I remember walking through the market and there were these bales of pistachios and bales of apricot and beautiful lavash bread, and people were like, you can't eat any of that. The Geiger counter is off the charts with that food. And so all their food was very, very heavily tainted. So when I lived in San Francisco the same year before I moved to Berlin, or was traveling through Berlin, I was living in San Francisco. And when that cloud finally came to the States, it came to the West Coast first. It came from the West Coast. And the day it hit San Francisco, we were clocking it, literally, like, and it rained. So it was totally an acid rain. So I think that I was living in San Francisco and it's a freaky deaky town. And I think that our toxic culture, and I also think it's partially that I'm blessed. Like it's a mixture of things, you know, because I don't have polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is often what many bearded ladies have. And a lot of women who do have a beard, the majority do shave it off, bleach it, electrocute it, shave it. And I've been checked for polycystic ovarian, and I don't have it. I've been checked twice, actually, just to make sure. So it's just, I'm just a natural, not to say that those with a PCOS are not, but it's not from any imbalance, though. I think that living in San Francisco and being there the day that it acid rained and just being the Fruit Loop that I am, I'm blessed with a beard.
Wait, so was that a time when like you had facial hair and that was when you decided not to cut it, or that's when it started to grow?
My beard started to grow and I was like, oh, I have some wisdom whiskers. Oh,
when you're like 26 or 27.
Yeah. I was like, oh, uh-huh. Wisdom Whiskers. Cool.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I called them because uh-huh. I had a femtour in the 80s when I came out, and she called them Wisdom Whiskers. So I was like, nice.
Yeah, I was the same age, like 26 or 27. I was living in Chicago, and my chin just started getting hairier and hairier. And at first I was like, oh no, what is this? And I tried to pluck them out. But then more and more and more came, and I was like, oh. Oh, if you can't fight them, join them.
Nice.
Or if you can't beat them, join them. But at first it was a little bit unnerving and just like worrying about responses from people. Yeah, I remember the bathroom. Like, I lived at the Catholic Worker House in Chicago, and I can remember that bathroom and like the tweezers and just being like, geez, this hurts. There's got to be a better way to life than this.
I know a lot of women folk who contend with it and deal with it on a daily basis, and my heart goes out to them, and I don't judge them for removing it, for sure.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to walk in their shoes and let them do what they need to do.
People pick their battles, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like hearing you're so brave. That's really condescending to me. It's like, I'm sorry, do you say that? Would you say that to somebody in a chair? Yes, people do. Do you say that to people of color? Yes, they do. But it's not okay. Mm-hmm. It's not about being brave. This is who I am. And, you know, deal with it. So how many years have you had your
so
beard
that was 27, when I was 26 or 27, and I'm 43 now.
Right. So. Paige, when did yours start?
Well, mine started in response to some menopause. When I was 38, I realized I hadn't had periods for a long time, like maybe a year, and I hadn't really paid attention to it. And so I thought, maybe I better go check this out. So I went to my doctor, and she said, oh, you should have come months ago. You need to be, you're way too young to be not having your periods. So she put me on one segment of birth control. You know, I guess there are a couple of different, there's estrogen and there's progesterone in the array, in the little circular thing. And so I got the part that was intended to, I don't remember all that biochemistry. In any case, right immediately after taking these birth control pills, I developed this facial hair.
Usually it's
and right I just, I kind of felt like, okay, this is part of my story. And it's been there ever since. And you know, at the time, my mom was living here, and she'd say, hold on for a second, you know, and she'd like try to pull one. I said, now, Mama, don't you do that. This hair belongs to me. She and I had a long history about hair, because not only did I undergo really early menopause, I went through very early menstruation, menarche, what do you call it? Menarche or menarche? I don't know how you say it.
Menarche.
But when you begin.
Menarche, I think it's.
Menarche?
I don't know.
When you begin to menstruate and go through these secondary sex characteristics. And I was nine. I was 9 years old.
That was before that.
And I developed all this hair on my armpits, hair on my legs, pubic hair. And here I was, a little kid. And so my mom was, you know, kids take their cues from their parents.
Mom was freaked out.
My mom, you know, tried to hold it together, but I think was pretty anxious about this little daughter of hers. And I remember one time I was going out to play with some friends, and she grabbed my hand and lifted up my arm. My friends were gathered right around there. You go upstairs right now and put on some deodorant, she said. Mm. And so, you know, I did.
A lot of body.
And just a lot of, you know, and there was a point there where I would smell my armpit, and then I would smell the secret deodorant, and I would think, what in the world? Why would I replace this really delicious smelling body smell with this that smells like came out of a chemical factory.
Nice.
I am not doing this. But, you know, pressures are there.
Yeah.
And so at one point, my mom was out of the house. I'd gone to the grocery store, and I went in the bathroom, and I got her razor. And I didn't really know, what is it that women shave? You know, it's like legs and arms. And so I did all my legs and arms and armpits. You know, I even, you know, did my arms that, you know, later I found out you don't do your arms. You know, there's like these little rules.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and I thought, okay, good. Maybe I've got it off now, and it won't be a stressor anymore. You know, but it grew back. And you know, so I just had, and then my mom would just kind of, like, there was this pressure to conform. And, you know, and I think a lot of it was for her, you know, to have a daughter who's, like, hairy and smelly, you know, or smells, like, natural and normal. It had to have been hard for her. We're talking about, this is the 50s and the early 60s. Mm. This was a very difficult time. And here I was in this, you know, white, classy culture where, you know, you're supposed to look a certain way and adhere to certain norms. So that was sort of this background to, you know, so then when I was 16, I went off to this boarding school in for the summer, one summer. None of the girls at this school shaved anything, and they didn't wear bras. And I said to myself, I think I got a new reference point here. Mm. And that was it. Mm. I was done. I had done like the age of 15 to 16. I had shaved my legs and armpits.
Were the girls at the school also, what was their ethnic background?
They were white.
And they were all coming from the U.S., white folk?
Yes.
No European?
Yes. And they were just, the women's movement was beginning. The women's lib movement. It was known as at that time. This was in the 60. This would have been 67.
That, I was five.
Wow. Well, I was. You weren't even 16 a twinkle in your mouth. Or something. And so, anyway, that really affected me to kind of be around a gene pool of people who were resisting this paradigm of. You know, hair removal and, you know, and I returned home to Kansas City. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. And, you know, I returned home to these conditions of conformity and, you know, with legs that had hair on them, armpits and, you know, and my mom and I had a few years of really difficult conversations and, you know, and I would say things like, Mom, we're animals. You know it? That we are human, right? Which is like a cultural thing. But we are also animals. And why can't we allow that? And why do we have to just spend our life energy tending to these things that we imagine need to come off?
Social constraint.
Yeah.
So totally social constraint. Yeah.
So you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ. And my guests, I'm Ruthie Woodring, and my guests today are Paige Bridgens and Ami Ross. There are some bearded ladies in here.
I love the cackle on you, Paige. Oh, and she snorts. So,
oh, and you know what? If listeners, if anyone wants to call in with questions for the bearded ladies,
we'd love to field your questions.
585-1033.
And that includes children. If there are any children out there who would like to ask questions, I really love working with children on this.
Yeah, what's the main question you get from kids?
Well, you know, Ami mentioned running into me at Valley, what do you call it? River Valley Market. River Valley Market has been a place where I have experienced quite a lot of very, very young children with their parents or with their mom, usually. And you know, they see my facial hair, and they, and it, there's some cognitive dissonance. They kind of feel like this doesn't match with the body. It's like a body of a woman with her, you know, and they're just curious as can be, you know, and their mother will like pull them along, come on, and you know, trying to escape the discomfort of the situation and trying to spare me the disgrace, your perceived disgrace that I might experience by someone, you know, gawking at me. Mm-hmm. But truly, I enjoy it. And I, you know, and sometimes I say to the mom, you know, I think your daughter's noticing that I have these little hairs on my chin. And you know, and I take a moment sometimes to just show them and just kind of show that, you know, I'm not freaked out by it, by either their curiosity. I appreciate that curiosity. And just, you know, for me, it's like a learning experience about how incredibly early children incorporate these
social constructs. I have kids in stores be like, Mommy, she has a beard. Mommy. And so I, and the mother's always like, shh, 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 shh. And I'll be like, do you want to know a secret? And the kids are like totally wide-eyed and lean in. And I look at the mom and I'm like, is it cool? And they're like, yeah, yeah. Because they look at it as a learning moment. And I'll lean in and I'll be like, all women grow beards and mustaches. It's just that they take them off or they shave them or bleach them. Or, and I whisper this to them and they look at me all wide-eyed. And they'll look at their mom and the moms give this like, uh-huh. And it's just like really a big learning moment because to deny children that inquiry and, you know, is to deny them a learning moment, as it does the normalization that women can have beards. And the fact that I pass so easily for masculine is beyond me because, you know, I wear horned rim, cat eyed 1950 glasses, which you don't see men, I say in quotes, wear. And I am a 44 double, triple D, but because I'm fat, when you have a beard, I think that people stop looking beyond the neck, and the body resembles masculine because of the thickness and the chub. So then therefore I must be a man. And so people are really quick to want to slot us into either or. And at this stage in my life, and having been in menopause for 5 years, my beard being 26 years, I've always identified as she, and even more so staunchly, even though I identify as a queer, and what I feel like being a lesbian is more of a physical act of who I am sexually attracted to, as a gender, I identify as a queer, but I will always say she because people want me to be a man, because it's so much easier for everybody else if I were to say he. You know, and I often get in conversations with people that I'm very, very quick to be like, I bet you don't meet many bearded ladies because I can tell they think I'm a man. Uh-huh. Their body language to me, they make physical contact with me, which in social construct, we don't touch each other and men do. And men have this assumption of touching. When they think I'm a guy, they'll be like arm punching and shut and shit. And I'm very quick to clarify I'm a bearded lady. And they're like, yeah, 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 I'm a bearded lady too. And I'd be like, don't mock me. F word. I'm a dyke with a beard. And I'm not one of your buddies. Mm. So I really, but I want to clarify so that it's like, and if people can be like, okay, cool. And I'm like, cool, we can keep talking. But if people get really hung up that I just said bearded and lady and own it, and they get really stuck on it, then I'm like, we're not going to have much of a conversation because they're so caught up in it. And it's just like, I've moved on. Can we move on and go back to this really interesting whatever conversation we were having? But they're like, you know, bearded lady, like a Scooby-Doo moment. I'm like, work with me. So kids are great because they're open to inquiry. And it's not from a mean way. It's from a like, explain to me, because there is so much social construct around boys do this, girls do this, and it's not fair. It's not fair at all to all genders.
Yeah. Well, in Northampton, where there's so many, where there's many people that are gender transitioning, like, do you get people, or do people think that you're transitioning, or what do you, how do you feel about that?
Again, I just say I'm a effing dyke with a beard. And I have, I remember once I was, this was years ago, it was a good 2 decades ago, I was standing in a music shop, instruments in Santa Cruz, and this maybe 13, 14 year old skater, surfer boy, adorable, you know, no facial hair, blonde hair that hung over one eye. And he steps to me and he starts out with, "Can I ask you a question?" I was like, "Sure." And he goes, "How'd you grow your beard?" And this kid knew he was talking to a woman because he wanted to know how this woman got to grow her beard, because he wants to grow a beard. And he was looking for advice from a bearded lady who was growing a beard. Like, if she can do it, I can do it. Exactly. And I was just like, I giggled and I looked at him. And he had this like tawny, you know, brown skin and not a fur on him, and just adorable. And I was just like, oh, bless your cotton socks. I said, you know, it's natural. I've never done anything to, I've never taken anything stimulant wise as far as testosterone, which is maybe, you know, yours will still come, yours is still coming on. And I don't do anything to stimulate it. But my suggestion to you is start shaving. Like, stimulate the area literally and figuratively. Go ahead and stimulate it. That can help it possibly grow back, or grow and grow back stronger. And that's all I got for you. And he was like, thanks. Thanks a lot. It was so ridiculously cute. I was so, as my father would say, tickled pink. That's, it was adorable. Funny. So, yeah, I often get called he out of correctness, trying to be polite. And I agree. I think it's really important if you think somebody is a gender presentation, I think it, regardless, you should say, what pronoun do you use? I think it gets people thinking outside of those two boxes, myself included, you know, because my lover is very feminine in presentation, and they are genderqueer and use they, them. Uh-huh. And, you know, femme as an identity is very much them, but you would not say she or her to them, you know, so I really appreciate those who claim it. And I think it is really important for me as the only time I like the word lady is when the word beard is in front of it. So when people are like, "Hey, ladies," and I'm like, "Put a beard in front of it and I'll own that." Otherwise, you can just call me frickin' dyke, you know, or Ami, you know.
So Ruthie, how has it been for you having facial hair in Kentucky, where you go often?
Well, you know how you were saying, Paige, that when you look in the mirror, you don't even really notice it.
Right, exactly.
Like, I don't notice it here in Northampton. I'm not even aware of it most of the time.
And then in Kentucky.
But then when I go home, I take the bus home. Sometimes I just, well, I remember once I was traveling with Dwayne, and Dwayne's like, "Everybody's staring at your beard." He said this in the bus station, I think. And I was like, "Really? I thought people were just making eye contact and being friendly." Really, I just, like, honestly, like, when I'm there, I feel like people make a lot of good, they look at me in the face a lot.
Do they smile? And,
yeah.
And you smile back?
And just, they smile, sort of curious smile. I'm like, hi.
Yeah.
Every now and then you get the long, long stare, and then you're like, hi, do you want to get to know each other?
Yeah. When I get hard, long stares, I'll be like, head nod, or what's up, or a smile. And if they just keep looking at me hard, I'll look at them and be like, I know your mama taught you better than that. Because what they're doing is just like being hateful. They're just judging, and without that acknowledgement. And I'll acknowledge them like, "Hi, I'm for real."
Yeah, usually.
You know, and if I get rudeness back, then I'm just like, "I know your mom taught you better than that."
Well, I wonder if you all have noticed any different types of reactions that you've gotten from different demographic groups. Because I know for me, like, I've gotten like a much higher percentage of positive reactions from Black men than from white men or white women. I don't know if you all have noticed any differences.
I feel othered in my queerness and in my bearded lady, and being also fat identified. And in that otherness, I identify with others, and it's the closest I can come to even a glimpse, and not to say I understand racism at all, but that being othered. And so I do feel like when I clarify to someone of another background, ethnic background other than white, there's an acknowledgement for a glimpse of, like, to be on the outside of the acceptable white male standard or white female standard, because I'm not, you know, pretty in the traditional sense. I'm pretty in another kind of sense. And, you know, in my personal struggles with stuff, I don't struggle with my beard. Zero. I struggle with being a fat woman, not a bearded lady, but a fat bearded lady. The fat part is the cultural I struggle with. I think part of that is because I present as masculine, because I'm butch identified in that gender region again. And it's easier to have a beard. I do have another lover in Portland who's femme identified. And she has hair down to her tuchus. She's shaped like an hourglass. She's fat, full, and fierce. And it really F's with people that she's so feminine with a full mustache and beard. And that, I think, from my perspective, is probably harder because of the femininity and putting a beard on it, you know. And she gets a lot of anger at her because she's feminine presenting with a beard and mustache. And I tend to float under the radar, which I don't like. I want to be seen as a woman. It breaks my heart that when I clarify I'm a woman and I get challenged on it, or that I'm constantly being perceived as a man, because I very much love being a woman and feminine of center. So I don't want that male privilege, and I don't want that masculine identity. The negative. I like the positive of... my father once asked me, what is butch? And I said, it's the positive of male and masculinity. And I believe the same is for a femme. It's the positive of female and femininity. So...
Did you want to add something, Paige?
Well, in terms of demographics, I don't know that I've noticed anything. I did have this one experience. I was working at the Unitarian Society. And where I was, you know, my facial hair was totally acknowledged and it was never an issue. But this woman came up to me after service and said, I can help you. And people were always offering to help me. I was working there, you know, and after services, we needed to put the hymnals in the racks and we needed to get right. The programs. And so I said, I think we pretty much got everything. And she said, no, I mean, it's something else. And I had a feeling that it was going to be about my facial hair. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to help her. You know, I wanted to let her let it come out. Nice. And so I said, well, what, you know, what can you help me with? And she said, I'm an esthetician. And I said, what's that? And she said, I don't know, somehow described that she works on beauty or something like that. And I said, yeah, so cool. Well, so, and like, so how does that relate to me? And she said,
well, like pulling teeth or tweezing hair. That's great.
I wasn't helping her out.
Not at all. And, that's hilarious.
This was so, you know, there's something really lovely about it because she was really offering this gift. She said, I
she
do.
She thinks it's a gift.
I do. It was a gift. She said, so I do depilatory. And I said, what's that? And, you know, I was getting this vocabulary lesson all the way along. And she said, you know, or electrolysis or whatever it was. She said, it's a way that we can take hair out by the roots. And I said, you want to take my hair out by the roots? Why would you want to do that? And she said, it comes out so much better than with shaving. And I said, well, do you mean like my facial hair? And I said, I've never shaved it and never had any real need to or interest in it. And so I think I'm a little bit I'm clear that I'm not interested in the depilatory or whatever you call it. And so that was sort of the end of that story. But I did want to see it as a gift. I mean, she was offering this. And, you know, we all offer our gifts. You know, or we can offer gifts to the world. And maybe to somebody else, it might be perceived as a gift. And for me, it was sort of like, she offered a gift, but I didn't really need that gift. We let it go.
It's in that spirit of just asking how you feel about it would be first. My inclination is to be like, your relationship with your beard versus assuming that it's an issue. And that therein lies the objection. So I like that you made her sweat.
I loved making her sweat a little bit. And yet I also, when we got down to it, I did say, I appreciate your offer. And I don't really, I don't feel any need to remove it.
All right. Well, we're going to take a little break. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP, 103.3 FM in Northampton. And my guests, I'm Ruthie Woodring, and my guests today are Paige Bridgens and Ami Ross. We'll be back with more talking about bearded ladies shortly.
Join me, Dwayne Rennie, every Friday from 2 to 4. To rock down memory lane with music from the 70s. Only here on Valley Free Radio.
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones cómo arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue,
11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
All right, we're back. During the break, we got a call from Kat Berry, another fella. Oh, maybe fellas too, gender related. Another bearded lady. and so thanks for calling, Kat.
Hi, Kat.
Yeah, Kat knows you all. Knows
yeah,
all.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Kat Berry. No, Kat Berry.
Kat Berry. And next there's time, a bearded lady Facebook group. I do?
Yeah, no, you don't call her Kat. She wants to be called both names together.
Okay, we'll move on.
Okay.
There's a bird about the...
There's a secret group on Facebook. We have a secret bearded lady Facebook group, and it's a body positive, feminine of center identified. They, them is also acceptable, but it's not for transitioning folk. It's for feminine of center. Mm-hmm. She, her, they, them. And there's like 25 of us. It's great. And mm-hmm. it's, yeah, just sharing what we're up to and things that we're seeing, and a body positive all the way. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, I hate this beard, and how do you deal? We definitely consult a little bit if we're dealing with stuff around the beard, body stuff, but it's not a hate, self-hatred group. It's not a self, mm-hmm. there are bearded lady, how to get rid of facial hair groups, and it's full of a lot of self-hatred, and that's not us. So if anybody wants that, be in that group. Find me on Facebook and
Ami Ross.
Ami Ross in East Hampton. That's A-M-I-E. Mm-hmm. And I'm the only bearded lady out there who body pierces or did for 20 years. So mm-hmm. you can also find me that way. I don't anymore.
The conversation on the phone with Kat Berry made me also think about reasons that people do trim, pluck, whatever at different stages. I remember once I was applying for a job at a youth shelter through ServiceNet, and at the end of the job application, the woman who was hiring was like, "So I'm a little concerned about how the youth would find your facial hair. They might be distracted by it or something. Would you be willing to trim for this job? And I was kind of disappointed, you know. I thought kids could handle this. I thought youth would be able to handle this.
Youth handle it really well.
But I said, okay, because I know it'll grow back. And that was kind of what we agreed on. It was like, okay, I'll cut it to start. And then as I get to know the kids, it'll grow back. That's the great thing about beards. They grow back.
That's what I liked about body piercing. It was like, it doesn't have to be permanent. And I like that it has that range when I was doing it for 20 years.
Okay, but can we follow up on Ruthie's story? I'd love to hear. So how did it go? Did you get that job and did you work with the kids?
Yeah, I did get that job, but it was, I wasn't there for very long because the shelter closed like within a few months. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so I feel like with us, our social environments, work environments, like we have these lives where we have the freedom to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's a certain amount of like privilege and freedom Absolutely. That we have to do this. So I don't know if there's any, you know, anything I want to say about that.
So there was, yes, Paige. speaking of privilege. So I took this little gig working at a farm on the island of Dominica.
Where's that?
It's in the Caribbean. Dominica. And this friend of mine had this farm. She'd been inviting me down there for a really long time, and I ended up going down there. And we arranged for me to come, and then she said, you know, I'm just thinking it would be a lot simpler for you if you didn't have the facial hair while you're here. You know, and this is a population. It's Afro-Caribbean population. And she said, everybody dresses really well and grooming is really important. And I thought, you know what? I'm willing to do this. So I went downtown and I had a waxing and ripped this thing off of my chin and it was gone. Wow. Yeah, it did. You know, and I thought, yeah, I'm doing this one time, and I don't feel any need to do it again. And when I got to Dominica, I realized, you know, there's a lot of variety and expression here, and I think that I probably did this for my friend Karen.
I would say
you
so.
Know, and that it was probably a lot of, she wouldn't have to field a lot of questions and, you know, and probably it made it easier for me too. And maybe easier for the people I was meeting with. You know, we were at the market every Saturday with thousands of people. And I can imagine how it might have made it easier, but not really. You know, I mean.
I think it keeps the status quo going, but I think it's also subjective. I don't want to judge somebody if they decide that they need to take their beard off for a while, because I have friends who do, and they're still a gender queer. They're still pushing the status quo. They're still challenging it, you know, in different ways. And so whatever they need to do, I do have problems with your friend being like, hey, can you remove that? It'll be easier, when it's really their agenda. Yeah. And not owning that. That's where I have issue, is that they didn't own it for themselves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She may have been right that it would have been easier, you know, that it was probably easier for me and for other people. I mean, she wasn't saying that it was just for me. You know, she was saying for
other
people.
But what's easier? You're not being genuine. You're not being yourself. And
So, but it did show me that, you know, I can remove this from time to time if I feel a desire to. I was also going to be visiting a friend in Puerto Rico, and I really wanted to make things simple for her. She's undergoing a lot of struggles and, you know, very, very conventional world that she's living in. She, as a lesbian, is living in. And so I felt really that I did it more for that part of this journey even than the Dominica part.
So I want to go back to, I think you kind of mentioned this, Ami, just a minute ago, about being, I don't know, like, you didn't really say this in words, but like being role models or people who've been role models for us, or, you know, when we let our facial hair grow, that gives other women more freedom to do the same. Any thoughts on that? Or like, do you have, when we talked about when we first started becoming bearded ladies, like Paige, you said the girls at the boarding school kind of helped you get that freedom.
Yeah.
Any other, true. Like, people, well, here's one thing that comes to mind. Some days when I'm like, okay, or some nights like, okay, what did I do for justice today? Well, I rode my bike everywhere.
Nice.
Oh, well, I let my facial hair grow.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, maybe it does affect other people, other women, and gives them the thought, you know, maybe I don't have to do this. And, you know, same with hairy legs. You know, which used to be that you would never see hairy legs on a woman. You know, in my childhood, I never did. And over time, over decades, that has dramatically changed. And so maybe the same thing with the facial hair.
I was saying that before the show. I said that World War II, all the men in the U.S. shipped out. And the razor blade industry was like, we just lost a big portion of our market. And so they marketed, I say in quotes, unwanted hair. Women, get rid of that unwanted hair. And it became very, very, very fashionable to shave and created. It was like, like many markets and many compulsory gender stuff, it was like, you need to not have unwanted, and as if my under hair is unwanted, and shaving became a thing for women because prior to that it wasn't. It was very, very much a constructed, much a constructed thing. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of my role models, if I have any for beards. I've definitely, over the years, because I had such a high-profile job, piercing for 20 years, over the years, I had many a woman tell me, wow, I am inspired. Mind you, the majority of women that I meet that do let their beards grow are queer identified, gay identified, lesbian identified. And I think that's because within that culture, there's more, you're already on the outside to some degree. It's not across the board. But there is already an othering happening. And a lot of women of color have stepped to me and been like, wow, I'm going to let my beard grow. And I'm like, so honored that they're like, you know, inspired. But I don't think I've had any. I definitely know Jen Miller, Circus Amok, who's been photographed by Annie Leibovitz and has an amazing circus out of New York called Circus Amok. If you ever, it's a New York City based circus that comes out every summer. It's amazing political circus. And Jen Miller, in my opinion, is one of the most famous bearded ladies in the U.S. and
that reminds me.
Go ahead.
Last year I was walking through Manhattan by Port Authority. I was like, had a bus transfer or something. So I'm walking down, I don't know, some street in Manhattan. And there's this Madame Tussauds, bearded lady or something, and there's people outside the door passing out flyers, come see the bearded lady. And I just like looked at them and just started laughing. It was,
I'm
too
living
funny.
The dream, boo. I'm already living the dream all the time.
So there's this article that I'm looking at online here from Alternet about, it says, guess how much time and money the American woman spends ridding her body of unwanted hair. Well, this says recent studies indicate that more than 99% of American women voluntarily remove hair.
Correct.
So we are in the 1%, the less than the 1%.
Look, I made the 1% list.
There we go.
Disabled fat lady makes the 1% list. Unbelievable.
And this says that over the course of a lifetime, American women who shave will spend on average more than $10,000. And nearly two entire months of their lives simply managing unwanted hair. And if women who wax once or twice a month will spend more than $23,000 over the course of her lifetime. But also, you know, most American men, too, routinely remove facial hair, and increasing numbers modify hair elsewhere on their bodies.
Yeah. There's an awesome bearded lady named Haran. She lives in London. She's Sikh. And the Sikh belief is that you accept your body as is, hence natural hair is left. Why Sikh men have beard and mustaches, as does she. And she's very much a spokesperson, not so much around PCOS, but also around acceptance and body acceptance. And she's been asked to be on the runways now, and she's beautiful and feminine of center. And I would say that she's a role model for many a woman, you know, and also, you know, is out there in a big way as a Sikh, a member of the Sikh religion. And I really respect that.
That's cool. There's something else from this article I really want to read, just like a paragraph or two.
Please.
All right. The ubiquity of personal hair removal in the United States is particularly striking given its relative novelty. To be clear, forcible hair removal is not new. The use of hair removal to control or degrade, as with the beard removals at Guantanamo, has been imposed on inmates, soldiers, students, and other captives for centuries.
Yeah.
Despite the recent treatment of U.S. detainees, American courts have tended to frown on the forced removal of hair by agents of the state. In an influential 1879 decision, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Field held that the San Francisco officials who cut off the long queues of Chinese men confined in county jails were in violation of both the Constitution's guarantee of equal protection and its prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. Non-state actors have also removed hair as a way to maintain and reproduce specific relations of domination. Particularly telling in this regard were the slave traders who shaved and oiled the faces of enslaved men being prepared for sale. Because vigorous men drew higher prices, traders sometimes shaved away signs of gray beards or the first stages of pubertal growth in order to make the men appear younger. An 18th century engraving of a slave market depicts an Englishman licking the face of an enslaved man to check for telltale traces of stubble before purchase.
Goddess.
And that's from an article entitled, from Alternet, Guess How Much Time and Money the American Woman Spends Ridding Her Body of Unwanted Hair, from March 9, 2015. It's a lot more really fascinating and disturbing.
They're very disturbing.
Yeah. This is Valley Free Radio. The show is out there. Out There airs every Wednesday from 4 to 5. Today's guests are Paige Bridgens and Ami Ross, and I'm Ruthie Woodring. Thank you for coming in. And you can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. I think I'm going to probably replay this show for next Wednesday as well. So we've got time for a few more stories. I got a story about the hairy legs.
Do it. The older I get, the less hair I have on my legs.
I know. It's kind of disappointing to see it thin.
Do you have a happy trails from the belly to the pew? Do you have the happy trails?
I'm not sure.
Let's hear your story, Ruthie, about the hairy legs.
Yeah, so when I was living in Chicago, there was this dumpster behind the Whole Foods there that I would frequent when I was maybe biking home. And so I was in the dumpster rooting around, and it was on a canning route. It was on this... in this industrial street alley on Clyburn Street where by some scrap metal recycling places. And so the canners, these guys with shopping carts, would always come through looking for cans and scrap metal. Anyway, so I'm in the dumpster and I'm kind of head down in there rooting around. And this one guy, I hear his cart come rattling along and he puts his head in the dumpster and he sees me and he's like, and then his buddy rolls up with his cart and the first guy says to his buddy, "Is that a male or a female?" And his buddy, who I had actually run into before at the dumpster, his buddy looks and says, "Well, she got hairy legs, but she all woman."
That's right. Yeah. We come in all sorts of furry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any extra fur anywhere else on my body except my chin. Mm. Yeah, and my sideburns.
Mm-hmm.
So I envy those who grow the little happy trails from navel to pubic mound. I think those are really sweet. My lover, Lauren, in Portland is very, 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 very furry. got your phone blowing up.
It's Cat Berry calling again. All right, so you two keep talking. I'm gonna answer the phone call. See if you're, so Democracy Now! Will be coming on at 5 o'clock.
Tell some stories.
So, I was dating Lauren for a good 6 months, and on long distance, we would be talking on a video chat, and I'm talking to her, and I lean into the screen real close, and we're already really up in the screen, and I go, do you have a beard? And she smiles at me, this sly smile, and a mustache, and she smiles, this sly smile, and she had not let it grow until she met me, and I had no idea that she was a bearded lady. So it was a really nice, like, again, like, just being me was an influence on letting hers grow out. And I was, like, so touched. And she goes in a little bit of phases of growing it and then taking it off. Mm-hmm. She gets a lot of flack as feminine presenting with a beard and mustache.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. And that breaks my heart. Catberry's going to come on next time.
Yeah, hopefully Catberry will come on next time.
I want to have a bearded lady clutch.
Yes. Yeah, Cat Berry was also saying, just reminding us of how much money the industry spends on getting women to shave, bleach, whatever. So I mentioned like the $10,000 to $23,000 that the average American woman spends. But the industry has been the billions and billions.
Well, it's $60 million a year for body, just weight stuff, not even including the esthetician stuff.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we're going to wrap it up. Anything else? Let me just give my final thank you to both of you. Thanks, Paige. Thanks Omni,
for the invite.
For coming in today.
Good meeting you, Paige.
Thank you, Ruthie. This was really fun. Great to meet you, Omni.
I don't have to, like, gobsmack at you when I see you at the market now. I'll be like,
now you'll know.
Yeah. Beardo love.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Catberry.
Yeah. So I'll take these last couple minutes to make some announcements. Today is International Women's Day. There's going to be a special celebration tonight at First Church's Lyman Hall, 6:45 to 9 p.m. That's 129 Main Street, Northampton. Okay, so tonight, this program, there'll be a bunch of women, Til Lalazar Theater from Iran, gender-bending political comedy on free speech. There'll be Voices Carry, which is stories by women of voices from the inside. It's a writing group from incarcerated women.
Can you say again where that's happening?
That's at First Churches tonight from 6:45 to 9.
Nice.
There'll be Understanding the American Muslim Woman by Asima Silva of enjoyinggood.org. There will be Strong Oak Speaks, American Indian, Maliseet, Mount Kamag descent. There'll be Mukupa of prosperitycandle.com. From Burmese refugee to American citizen.
Wow.
And then there'll be a Q&A question and answer session featuring all speakers. That's at First Churches tonight. Other events.
At what time again?
6:45.
6:45 till 9 o'clock.
6:45. There's also a movie at Forbes tonight at 6:30.
Which is
Which Way Home. It's about children coming across, trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border into the United States.
That are
hopping trains.
Laverne Cox got canceled.
I saw that.
Wah, wah.
All right, signing off. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.